morning.
Or afternoon, I guess.
I didn't take you out of a meeting.
Just winding up, sir, you know, political meeting.
Oh.
And I'm just finishing. No, it's strictly okay. We're fine.
I think the past thing you can say came up very well.
Seems to be playing all right.
She said the right thing. She's got the issues there. Let it ride for a little while.
I can back off.
Comprehension. Further comprehension. Understanding. I really want you, the main one I want you to talk to is Congress.
Right.
I didn't want to embarrass you.
I understand. I understand.
It's a political decision.
Right.
My own feeling is that it would fly to tax the rich a little bit more and to let them wind it the way things are going and to give it to the property tax relief for the elderly as a beginning.
Well,
now I don't know.
I'm a little troubled about taxing the rich more simply because we've been so categorical about taxing them. But
provided it says no tax increase, that's why I believe this is reform.
Yeah. And that's our people.
Our Ziegler's point, however, Ziegler's judgment is awfully good. And boy, is it bad.
Yeah.
Just think what the problems would be if we had clients.
I don't know. Or somebody like Salinger or, or somebody like Dean Haggerty who wants to make the problem.
He's good. I just don't know. And incidentally, if it turns out we can't do that, skip it. Then let us go for the George Shultz.
The George Shultz thing is fascinating because
to me it would be the goddamn thing. Because I'm inviting the votes for a revolutionary change in taxes, the Freedom Plan, that can deal with the conservatives, it'll deal with the folks who are going to help.
Yeah.
And we're going to give this, we're going to add this to the amounts. And then why not use, rather, and I like the idea, rather than giving it to be some of the rich global governments, just tax credits.
Tax credits.
Basically. Everybody's got, as you as a lawyer understand this, and I do, but I'm sure Ziegler wouldn't get the point. Most people think they get a tax credit now, they don't think they get a deduction.
That's right.
A tax credit is right off your tax line. It's money in your cash.
That's right.
Remember, they used to have the earned income credit.
Yep.
But a tax credit is main line, right into the debt, and it's like giving them the money.
That's right.
So it's a great idea.
Well, as a matter of fact, there are all kinds of combinations of this thing that you could think about. You could say my long-term goal is to reduce property tax for everybody 50%. Obviously, there are a lot of
property tax.
I understand, but a lot of disparity among the states and so on. And frankly, our federal revenues aren't high enough, and I don't want to resort to new taxes.
Right.
So, as a first step in this direction, pensioners, old people on fixed income will get a tax credit. Phase two of this program.
They'll get a tax credit. Are you going to add it? Are you going to go back and put in the tax enrichment?
Oh, you can do it out of the 7.5 a year that he gets out of the accretion.
Oh, you don't predict.
You say we've got to discipline ourselves in this government.
See, the difficulty with let me come around to this from a political standpoint. The reason George and others are saying tax enrichment. They have that as an answer to those that want to close loopholes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that the loophole thing is all that big. All polls indicate that we ought to tax people who aren't rich. Now, the polls indicate it, but I don't think it's a red hot issue.
I know.
There can't be redistribution. What should be?
That's my feeling exactly. And that's one of the reasons I can't get with this. I have trouble in seeing this minimum tax exceed. The problem is we have a minimum tax. So all we're talking about is change of degree here, a change of rate. And I don't think there's that much political sex in that, in and of itself. What it really feels to me is to be able to argue, no, freedom line, that there's been a secret growth in government. Every year, $7.5 billion of government overhead. And we're going to damp that off. And the way we're going to do it is by skimming. Every year, we're going to skim that growth off, and we're going to devote it to a critical national priority.
The way that I incidentally skim the growth off, here I can take it all. You can take the growth and inflation, the real growth, and you can say that has to go to fixed expenses, growth and interest rates. We don't touch that.
Mm-hmm. to accomplish over 5 years or 3 years or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, that's a very valuable concept that we haven't really been working on here. But we thought, well, we have to do this all in 1 year.
Yeah. Well, I did. You mentioned yesterday that the counties and states and so forth plan this. They plan to make that much difference. They plan, they spend revenue.
It's all right. It's all right as long as you say in advance what it's going to be. But to say, and the tax credit gets us off that, you see. Because we can go to tax credit for 4 years.
That's
and
right.
In the fifth year, we can lock into a direct relationship with the government.
That's right. But in the tax credit, we don't give it to the government. We just say, we're
going
to give it to the individual.
That's right.
I
like it. That's right. But you can hold the other thing out.
That doesn't do anything for education.
Well, see, that's the point, though.
Although it takes some pressure.
That when you lock in to the government relationship in the out year, whatever that year is, then you get into education.
Yeah, but my point, let me say this. The fact that you get a tax credit would indirectly help the educators enormously because it would take the pressure off of resistance to school loans.
Yes, but you see, as George said, the tax credit is a vice. When you start to spread it beyond the elderly and beyond the pensioners into other classes of people or other brackets, then you encourage local governments to hike their property taxes because you're bailing them out. In effect, there's a revenue share.
Here's one thing. This is what I just don't want to fall. Don't fly. Don't let George fly.
All right.
Don't let anybody fly.
Right.
Tell them it's an absolute top secret.
Well, I just tell them that you're cooling off on it and that there's nothing definite.
Yes, why don't you say that?
After November, we can get people started on this. It isn't that complicated. You can decide how
we want to make the general thing. And this is about the time when they're saying we don't have a plan on the taxes and the rest of the thing. Whack.
On value added, you know, so it's hard to get off. I think you ought to see Bob Marion. I think that's his name.
Bye.
The chairman of the ACIR.
Marion.
See him next week.
Anytime.
And say, how are you coming? And he'll say, value has given us a hell of a problem.
Right.
And so you say, oh, that's interesting. I'll look at your timetable. How are things? Thanks very much. And then I'll background and say they had this meeting. And I can talk to one or two guys and tell them, well, it doesn't look very good anymore.
Call it, but we're exploring other things.
Yeah.
And we're exploring it.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a monthly or two?
$43,500 roughly from Hughes, but he had an adjusted gross income of $173,800. That's adjusted. But he got a lot of that from the stock brokerage firm he was with, $75,000. He got $28,000 speaking fees, he got $6,000 in interest and dividends, and he got a fee from something called Ducor Industries, which is I'll find out about that. I have time to find out about it. The next year, he damn near doubled his income. He was at $218,280. $100,000 roughly of that was Hughes. $36,000 for Miss Ducor. And some other lobbying fees, PR fees. But he paid tax on all that. So it is a dry hole from that standpoint. We'll wait to see whether the buy-off works. If the buy-off works, then obviously we won't do anything. The buyoff doesn't work, then I think it's putting it out through Grids Fund or something.
Well,
now the hard thing has some problems. Apparently, this is known in Democratic circles, so it's not going to be a surprise to anybody.
Well, but I think it's good to get it out that he's. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's
good to use money.
Get Hank's Grids Fund to run a banner story on it. You know. But as far as planning it with Hart and hoping that Hart will. utility bill.
Yeah.
George was part
last
of
last night I talked to a group of people at the boat. You know,
and yeah.
Again, migration rights are all for people.
Good darn.
And I should be voting for roads. I'm not sure. Their view was that I had said that the bill substantially exceeded the budget, that I would veto it. Budget would be losing the issue of lower prices, you may not fighting inflation. At least I throw this into whatever, these are all political views.
Yeah.
Which the all which surprise. But so there
well,
you
go. On the question of controllability, George said, you know, you thought he could withhold the money. Whitaker tells me that that's not true yet. We'll know Monday whether that'll be in the bill or not. They're trying very hard to get that in the first comes out of conference, but we won't know on Monday whether we'll have it or not.
Yeah.
He says if we can get the weaker contract authority provision, it'll permit OMB to hold it. Then the chances are that we'll get rolled because that's the last vestige of any argument that we would have with our conservative friends. And so it would be a major vote. Override your veto. And so those are just factors to weigh in. And we'll keep you posted, and probably Monday we'll know whether you've got that or not. But it's hard to argue the budget busting as long as we have control.
Well, let me say, if we have controllability, I won't veto.
Yeah.
You know, I don't doubt it. I'll tell you, if we're in power and it's controllable, we intend to be run as hell, you know, everything. And let them all squeal about, you know.
We'll have to be after I just went out and committed to another increase in taxes. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet here.
Like I said, I'm for the hotel government since they can't get out here.
No question about where you are today.
It's bad. Overgrown.
There'll be a lot of congressional and other kinds of pressure for us to be drawn out on what our tax program will be.
That's right.
And we just have to stonewall that now.
Absolutely.
Just stonewall.
We're studying it.
Yep.
Well, obviously, the government people like the treasure out of money. That's one of their pressures.
Yeah,
there's food prices, there's bread pressure.
Yeah, WPI won't help that in anything.
Don't worry about that. The WPI, we've always worried about when it comes out, and we've always worried about the CPI. It doesn't mean a goddamn thing except for one day. I've followed this so long. Everybody comes in so excited. I remember Schultz such an
ad.
We've got a CPI.
Yeah.
It's a one-day story, believe me. You'll squeal it about it. You can't control these bureaucrats and fix these numbers. As you well know, there's a hell of a lot of adjustability in the center. What is the situation with regard to, or are you aware of it, Herb Kalmbach's contacts with the Bobby Baker's people?
Well, I've heard from Herb since he's been back here. He's right here this week.
Press him hard.
I will.
To get anything he possibly can.
I have to.
I don't care what it is. Any little crumb of
lead
involving anyone.
Yeah.
I don't care. O'Brien, another senator.
All right.
Anything that involves a Democrat, goddamn political.
Okay. Well, I have a call out for her. He's in.
Now, one thing I want you to do that and tell the client, because I mentioned the vote last night. There.
I've already, well, Cole is, and I've already put the word in that he should have that. And we're going
to. He has ideas. Our people are not all that good of slogans.
The high road issues.
Oh, the final attack in the
right. to his old tricks. He scuttled a grain deal in 64. Now he's trying to scuttle us.
Sure.
He's a perverse negative. He's a perverse negative guy who doesn't have the interests of the farmer and the country at heart. And you turn it on.
Great.
So we'll have several.
Now you're talking.
We'll have several of those.
Now you're talking. That's true.
And
they may be convicted of the deal.
Sure.
Like for
sure.
The spirits about discussing that deal.
Yep. And hopefully we can talk to him in terms of taxes and several others and say, here's how you turn this. Here's how you turn Watergate. Never defend them in an answer. Peterson, for instance, always defend it. Always deny. Always justify. Instead of turning.
The reason is you just talk that.
Yeah.
And really,
they don't have the mindset.
They just never stop.
Yeah, they don't have
the mindset. They're worried. They're the ones who call the fans and say, hey, you ought to be out.
Yep.
You'll find our businessmen are the ones that are most worried about Watergate. Our labor guys don't get one chance.
Yeah.
They really don't.
Yeah.
Believe me.
That's right.
I've never had one of the labor guys mention Watergate to me. And they would. They talk about the flag and the country and I said, this communist son of a bitch. I mean, you've got all these horrible people around me. That's what we should be saying.
Sure.
People around me. Why? Watergate really is directed to the people around Nixon. Let's talk about the people around the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? Who is Kimmelman?
Compare Alsop. Why Kimmelman? Good part.
What is
it? Go Alsop. So there's enormous discrepancies. Governs money. Kimmelman said saying this and this, but we know from the facts that there are these kind of gifts from this left-wing professor
at Harvard,
Potterance, or whatever his name is.
Potterance.
Oh, I forget the name, but anyway, it's a left-wing professor.
Heard about that.
And he's got a lot of good facts in there, and he says, I think Henry Kimmelman's got a lot of explaining to do when he gets all that. And so it's good stuff.
Do you think so?
Yeah.